Okay, let's move to the other item that we're doing in concert with Gresham and Multnomah County and Home Forward, which is 323.
Adopt a governance framework with City of Gresham, Multnomah County, and Home Forward for the Continuum of Care Program.
Saltzman.
Thank you, Mayor. Today we are here to move forward on a governance model that will allow us, the City of Portland, to work in better coordination with our partners at Multnomah County, Home Forward, and the City of Gresham to more effectively and efficiently and in a streamlined manner spend dollars to end homelessness in our region. Before I begin, I just want to recognize the work that got us here, the community members who were part of the year-long reset process and who ultimately recommended this shared governance framework. We want to thank them. I want to thank Commissioner Nick Fish and former County Commissioner Deborah Cafori, who led by example with their partnerships, and also Steve Rudman, who is retiring at the end of this year, who is the executive director of Home Forward. I want to publicly thank him for his many years of service to our community. Through this governance model, I look forward to formalizing our work together and on housing and access to homelessness issues without regard to government boundaries, but with regard to putting the people we serve first. And with that, I'll turn it over to Tracy. You're going to...
Thank you, Commissioner. Sadly, no adorable children. And in fact, one of the world's most boring titles, governance.
but a very dynamic county commissioner.
That's right. I will count on you as fellow policy wonks at heart to understand that this really is a big deal. And it's something that our entire community has been working on for years. So we've got a short, I promise, PowerPoint presentation before I turn it over to the more dynamic parts of our duo here. So just to briefly talk about why shared governance. So the commissioner referred to the community process we started. I think, again, the least exciting part of this is that the federal government is, in fact, starting to require that we as a community measure ourselves together and not as a series of siloed systems and individuals, no matter how Portland nice we are. Our community, in fact, through this process of resetting our 10-year plan to end homelessness, made it one of its top priorities to say, as good as you are, you can work a lot closer together and do more work for us. And so in the plan that you adopted last April, A Home for Everyone, it sets governance as one of its top priorities. Another of the things that came out of that document was that we want to use governance to become a lot more transparent in our decision-making process, acknowledging that we could show better how the system works, and that we want to be more equitable in our outcomes, and that, in fact, social justice lens is a key part of the new plan, A Home for Everyone. So what are we doing with all of this? We're talking here for those of us who are lucky enough to hear or meet with Nan Roman from the National Alliance to End Homelessness. This should all sound very familiar because she spoke much more eloquently than I can to why we do this sort of, why we are proposing to do this. Nan acknowledged that she was fairly amazed at how well we all coordinated and how well we all worked together, and that Portland had a lot of national models and some of the best nonprofits in the country, and still we could do a better job by combining our forces. So this structure is designed based on the recommendations of her organization and of our community to better have shared knowledge, to really use data, which Nan said over and over again, to make decisions about how to better impact homelessness and end it, to better evaluate that what we are attempting to do is, in fact, being successful, and to better coordinate all of these efforts in a central way so that we can align our priorities with the need, fund them with our combined resources, and then together measure rigorously and sort of without flinching whether those outcomes are in fact what we're shooting for. And, you know, we do have a hope that by doing this well and doing it together and showing the community that we can do it, that we can better leverage our existing resources because people, I believe, want to participate in success. So what does this this nine-page document actually create, this exciting governance? So it will be chartered by Portland and Gresham City Council. Multnomah County Commission will take it up tomorrow, and the Home Forward Board of Directors will take it up on Tuesday. There will be a broadly representative coordinating board, which will be led by an executive committee. So the executive committee includes the mayor of the city of Portland and the housing commissioner, the chair of Multnomah County, and another appointed commissioner, either the executive director or a board member of Home Forward, a member of the Gresham City Council, and then the mayor and the chair will appoint a private funder or convener to join at the table. The executive committee is included on the larger coordinating board. This coordinating board is in part dictated to represent our system by the federal government and in part by what we see as the most highest priorities. And so some of those folks, I think, fairly intuitively are listed here, but certainly include members of the homeless community, people that were formerly homeless, providers in the healthcare system as well as the housing system, school districts, a number of other folks. And we'll have at least three members nominated by the community. So what will they do? They will assess the needs in our community in a unified way. Based on that need, recommend the priorities for funding, recommend both the funding and strategies, make those decisions together, initially on our federal continuum of care dollars, including the Emergency Solutions Grant. And then develop an annual action plan, and the first action plan is one of the other mandates of A Home for Everyone. And again, most importantly, to rigorously measure the outcomes of those actions.
Before you move on, could I just ask a clarifying question?
Please.
To whom does the coordinating board recommend the funding?
So the continuum of care funds, currently, they go directly to HUD. So right now, that happens in what is admittedly a not very obvious process. There is committee representation, and it goes as a continuum. We recommend an application directly to HUD. Right. This leadership committee will bring that process to representatives of the city, the county, Gresham, Home Forward, and the full board together. But the application right now goes from us as a continuum directly to HUD.
So this coordinating board will be making recommendations to each of the jurisdictions?
So the jurisdictions don't vote on the application except for the portions of the funding that go through the respective jurisdictions. So for instance, in the city of Portland, we receive continuum of care funds to run the data system, the homeless management information system, and there's one other grant that sort of passes through us directly to the community partners. The funding goes directly from HUD to our community partners. Our job as the participating jurisdiction is to assemble and recommend who those applicants are. The only portions of it that currently go through City Council are those two that are in my budget.
And they won't be in your budget anymore?
That depends on what the recommended application is. Most likely, at least initially, certainly the data will. So City of Portland operates the homeless management information system for both our entire area, and we also, by contract, operate it for a great deal of the rest of the state in contractual relationships.
But the council and or the housing commissioner won't have the final word on that. It'll be this coordinating board as to what we're asking.
No, and you don't now. Except that to the degree that the commissioner So there's there has jurisdiction over the Portland Housing Bureau, and we help assemble that application. But we, as a group, the participating jurisdictions currently do it basically at a staff level and then with input from the continuum. And I apologize. If you have more specific questions, I should probably bring staff up because I may be quickly running out of my detail.
Do continue with your presentation. Thank you. I do have questions, Brett, for later.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I apologize. I don't think I said that as clearly as I was thinking it on the way up here. And we're almost to the end. So really to talk about next steps. So as I mentioned, during the next couple of weeks, we'll go to each jurisdiction and complete the charter. Part of what you're doing is authorizing the mayor to bring you an intergovernmental agreement that will be, so that's sort of the next step in hammering out some of these details. So Commissioner Fritz, there may be a good moment of intervention there for us to go into more detail because that IGA will come back to City Council. And then we'll convene the Executive Committee. The Executive Committee will appoint the rest of the Coordinating Board, which will convene by June. So with that, and I'll hang out here for additional questions, and certainly we can talk about it afterward. I'm very honored to introduce Commissioner Wendt.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm Liesl Wendt, Multnomah County Commissioner, for a few more weeks. I think not up until the first meeting of this group, unfortunately. But I wanted to share some perspective, both from sort of different roles that I've played in the community on this issue, and then certainly the county's perspective on governance, which, as Tracy said, is a bit wonkish. I guess I think about this as good government, the work that that the people expect us to do in terms of kind of A, making the process more transparent, and B, really being more strategic about what are the goals across jurisdictions that we're trying to achieve. On a staff level and with our nonprofit partners, I think other communities would be jealous of what we have here. The staff team at Home Forward, the city, the county, are really some of the best working on this issue, both from their professionalism, their intelligence, their passion. The leadership that all of you have demonstrated on this issue is tremendous. So I think we're at a place where we can take that leadership to the next level. As Tracy mentioned, this is a requirement for HUD over the federal dollars, to clarify, I think, the question that you were asking, Commissioner Fritz, but also to set us up for better success. Homelessness is a very difficult issue, and we've made tremendous progress, and, you know, frankly, we have opportunities and challenges ahead. When I think about my time at 2-1-1, I actually think it was Commissioner Fish who came on a tour and listened to a phone call, and you may not remember this, but I'll refresh your memory. You said, is it that hard for people to get help? It was somebody who was calling looking for housing assistance, and they were given, you know, this referral to go to this agency at this time, and then another referral to go to another agency for another piece of the puzzle at a different time and a different part of town. And It's a great illustration of how complicated it is to be poor. And we are a community that has tremendous investments, and it's still incredibly difficult to be poor and to struggle. So while this is governance and behind the scenes, I think it's also an opportunity to say, these are the common goals we have. Where are the gaps in those resources that we can invest in? What are the new and different strategies that we need to implement? We've been on the front lines of this issue with Housing First and other strategies, and we've got to take that to the next level. I think importantly, another piece is we look at state systems that are transforming right now. Healthcare reform is the most obvious. And in talking to some of the CCOs and healthcare folks, housing continually emerges as a challenge for people who are the frequent flyers in emergency rooms and the folks they're trying to address. And yet, where's that one table that one could go to say, how do we invest differently in housing for the folks that we're seeing at the ER? Right now, there's not. There's great people and great intention, but there's not one place to leverage that conversation. So in many ways, today's conversation and today's vote, I think, builds on the tremendous history from Commissioner Sten to Commissioner Fish to now Commissioner Saltzman's leadership, and certainly on the county side, Commissioner Cruz and Commissioner Forey, who have kept this issue front and center. And the county certainly looks forward to the work ahead with Home Forward, with the city of Gresham. And really, you know, I think this is a new moment for us to, again, build on our success and create new solutions to homelessness. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mayor Hales, commissioners, thank you for having me here this morning. My name is Michael Bonacore. I'm the Deputy Executive Director for Home Forward. I would like to extend Steve Rudman's regrets for not being here. However, he is at a jazz festival in New Orleans, and I think that might be slightly disingenuous, but he would be here were he in town.
Truth in government.
So I just wanted to offer a few words about short-term rent assistance, or STRA, as we commonly refer to it in this community, as an example of the kind of collaboration that we would like to build through this governance model. I think it's a really a powerful example of putting a partnership structure in place that transcends terms of office and staff turnover and really represents a long-term sustained commitment to working together as we want to do in this governance model. So for several years, we have all, the jurisdictions and Home Forward have all contributed and directed funding streams to a fund that is then distributed based on joint priorities that are set and shared decision-making for funding awards. Mechanically, that's different than what we're proposing here with governance, but the idea is the same, which is that it's more efficient and effective to coordinate how we fund and work together towards a common purpose. We get better outcomes, we keep our eye out for emerging trends and gaps together over time, and we make hard choices together. And I think that was exemplified just this past year when the city and Home Forward both faced significant hits related to sequestration, and the county stepped in and backfilled our contributions to STRA because we have all sort of established together that long-term commitment, and knowing that as soon as we were able, Home Forward and the city would be back in the game, and we've already sort of been able to turn that around this year. And so I think that that depth of relationship is important, and but most important, as the commissioner mentioned, what matters is that this makes things work better for the people who need the services. And STRA, we consider a success not just because it feels good to work together, but because we have built a system where we have common outcomes. We can all point to and say, we know that STRA works, we can prove it. And that's the place that we want to get to in all of the efforts that we make around homelessness. And I think this structure lines us up for that. And also, as Commissioner Wendt said, people like good government, and when the community and partners like it, we draw further investment into the system. And in the case of short-term rent assistance, 211 made a big effort to make real-time information available for folks who were seeking short-term rent assistance. So again, when we put something good in place, others will sort of come to the table, and I think that's I think we're all interested in sort of broadening that conversation and a sense of community commitment to what we're doing together. And then the last thing I'll say about this is that STRA also tells us that we have to take a long-term view of this. As much as we celebrate the success of STRA now, the first 2 years had a few bumps in the road. I think we can anticipate that, and we just have to stay committed to working together and keep our eye on the idea that 5 and 10 years from now, we could be, we could be looking at outcomes that are as successful as STRA because we stayed in the game together. In terms of Home Forward's commitment, our board has not yet voted on this, but it will come before the board next week. And in the meantime, we've been building this conversation with our board over time. And it has already been decided that our Board of Commissioners will be, and Home Forward will be represented by our board chair, David Widmark, who's here with us in the audience today. And so my final note is just to tell you that, as Commissioner Wendt said, we're really committed to this partnership and are looking forward to putting our shoulder to the wheel on this with all of you. So thank you.
Thank you.
Mayor, I have one question, yes. If I could. This is such a powerhouse panel, I can't resist asking this question. Because what we're really doing today is celebrating work that began in 2005 with the adoption of a plan, and now the next iteration of how we make this plan even more effective. I was struck the other day when I opened up a newspaper, I think it was the Portland Business Journal, and they had a provocative cover story on homelessness. And I'm going to just paraphrase the first sentence. But it went something like this. The city and the county and its partners embarked on a plan to end homelessness in 2005. There are still homeless people in our community. Therefore, it failed. So I don't share that belief, and I don't think you do, but I want to give you a chance to respond.
Commissioner Fish, I think that's it's a huge challenge. And I think one of the things that Nan Roman talked about at Friday at the City Club is we didn't used to have a homelessness problem. And when it was created, there were other policies that happened at the same time that then we saw growth in homelessness. So I think one of the challenges is recognizing that some of homelessness is economically driven, and that's going to take some different strategies outside of a housing conversation to address. And there's other complex issues that aren't going away, mental health, alcohol and drug, the transition from the criminal justice system to the streets. So it's a complex issue, and I would say we have made tremendous progress, and we, to Michael's point, have to keep our wheel to the grindstone and continue to look at the complexity of the problem. And today is probably the great example of acknowledging that it's a complex problem. It's going to take all of us to work together on it.
Tracy?
I would toss in that is somewhat of a semantic issue as well. I mean, the 10-year plans to end homelessness, which were mandated by the federal government, really spoke to learning, making sure communities knew that we know how to end chronic homelessness, which is somebody who's, you know, effectively been homeless a long time. And that the 10-year plans were focused on chronic homelessness, and we did a tremendous job in this community in implementing best practices to end people's homelessness, and we ended a tremendous number of people's homelessness, people that have been homeless for 10 and 20 years who are facing multiple disabilities, who are very vulnerable when they're still on the street. Nan spoke to it, and I think we were very successful. We got two large federal grants to help achieve that. Those grants are gone now, and the city and the county both stepped up to backfill some of those funds because they recognized that it was funding a successful solution.
Well, I would offer that I share your sense of disappointment in that statement, and it is to some degree one of semantics and a need for a really thoughtful exploration of the issue, and to hearken, as my peers did, back to the comments of last Friday, you know, what Nan Roman said is a truth that I hold as well, or a belief that I hold as a truth, which is that what we're talking about is doing the best we can with the resources that we have, and it's really important to do that. And if we have $1 million to put towards a $10 million program, there's only so much we can do, right? And I think we have a larger sort of failure, if I may be really sort of bold and go out on a limb in this country, to say that there is a problem of homelessness that takes a certain amount of resource that we have not committed to putting towards it. And so we can do everything we can to use our resources wisely. And I think through the plan we have focused on sort of long-term systemic solutions to housing. And that's the right thing to do. And I think we all have to say that the resources we have available are not enough, and we have to keep fighting for more.
I could just add, I believe over the 8 years of the 10-year plan, which was adopted and crafted well before I ever got to council, mm-hmm. I think you've successfully moved about 12,000 people into housing, which is a number that we should not ignore. And the second thing is, I had the honor of having breakfast with Nan when she was here, and she told me a statistic that I guess I had forgotten, which is in this great country, we spend $190 billion a year on housing for other than people the market doesn't serve. That's the combined cost to the Treasury of the mortgage interest deduction, which allows people to deduct a second home, and the property tax exemption deduction. So the combined subsidy of the federal government for housing that is other than what the market doesn't provide is close to $190 billion. The combined resources of the federal government to address people the market doesn't serve is about $40 billion.
Thank you.
So yeah. I think that tells a staggering story mm-hmm. of federal priorities.
It does.
Mm-hmm. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I have a lot of questions. So, and I'm Nima Wonk. I really appreciate the intent of this, and thank you all for your work on it. My understanding is it's kind of taking to the next level the current coordination that you're doing and making it clearer who does what and how things are done. A good summary of what this is supposed to do?
I would say taking it to a higher level. It's taking it to your level.
Well, that's part of my question, because it seems like a lot of the decisions are made by the coordinating board and not by the elected officials. Is that correct?
The elected officials are members of the coordinating board, but yeah, the board ultimately recommends decisions to the leadership board, and I think if there's a conflict, then actually the coordinating board rules.
That's my concern, that the coordinating board rather than the executive committee rules. And so I'm wondering about the appointment of those members. It doesn't look, so my understanding is that the members of the coordinating board, some are appointed by the executive committee, right?
I believe, yes, I believe they all are.
Is there a maximum number of the coordinating board?
I don't think so. Looking at the charter, I don't remember seeing a maximum.
There is no maximum.
There's a minimum.
There's a minimum. I don't recall a maximum.
Got a staff person behind you if you need.
Oh, thank goodness. Yeah, Brian, come here. He had to help write this charter. And also, city attorney who worked on this is here as well. So, and he volunteered to chime in as would be helpful.
And if I could just frame my questions, the reason I'm so concerned about some of the details in this charter is that my understanding is that charter changes don't come back to council, that they are done by the, they do come back to, all charter
Ben,
changes come back to council.
Can you let that way in here? Oh.
Well, but just as a point of clarification, the document that is being adopted today is not the final agreement. The final agreement, that the direction is to the Housing Bureau to go and negotiate with the partners an agreement to bring back to council for ratification.
That's
under Directive A. And so the attachment is to set some broad framework goals to help guide those discussions, but it is not the final document that will be in front of you as, you know, for the formal structure for this continuum of care program.
Okay, that's very helpful. So I can just state my concerns and requests today and don't have to do formal amendments to the...
No, you could, I mean, depending on the nature of and the breadth of what it is that you're suggesting, this would be, I would assume, taken more as direction to staff and that to help guide staff in those discussions with the county and with Home Forward.
Thank you. So let me just ask some questions so that I make sure I'm understanding. There's a reference in the executive committee to a private funder convener. Can you tell me what that is and an example of who or what that might be?
So in a lot of communities around the country that have these boards, there is a private funder who's taken some leadership in. So some of these boards around the country are actually run by nonprofits. Some of them are one government agency or another, and some of them are led in several communities by the United Way, for instance. So I think it acknowledges that sort of broad role in solutions and says we want that and we believe we should have that here. In my conception, I think it's also a check and balance on looking at our data and our outcome study and are we sort of being rigorous and transparent about my expectation and is that they would ask us really good questions about the outcomes and what we're choosing to fund.
And do we have anybody in mind to be our private funder convener?
I don't.
Okay.
Well, we have had conversations with United Way, and they seem interested, and we're also hoping if we choose United Way to be the private funder, that they will also pay to play, bring some of their money to this effort as well.
All right, that's good. Thank you. So there are two unspecified additional members of the executive committee, and do we know who's envisioned to fill those roles and how they'll be chosen?
Two, I think there's just the one.
Okay.
So quickly, I'll add, my name is Ryan Dibert. I work with the Portland Housing Bureau. And those two positions are positions that the executive committee, if they elect to add additional members, can add on their own. There's okay. No additional specification for who they would be. So the executive committee would be a full committee with the existing seven named members. If the executive committee elects to add additional members, they could up to two.
Okay. And am I reading the attachment correctly that the coordinating board trumps the executive committee, if there's a difference of opinion?
There's, in some situations, yes. In many situations, no. So the language that's in there talking about when the full committee or when the full coordinating board can trump the decision of the executive committee is responsive to the federal regulations around the continuum of care funds, which require that decisions about who applies for those federal continuum of care funds be made by a broadly inclusive community-based board. So if we were to limit the decision-making authority on who would apply for those federal funds only to the executive committee, we would be in non-compliance with the federal regulations for those funds. So the charter is crafted to essentially say, in relation to those federal funds, the decisions of the board would trump that of the executive committee. In all other situations, the executive committee has the ability to respectfully disagree and move on.
And the executive committee has that power?
Correct.
Okay. And the designees from the executive committee to the coordinating board, can that be anybody, or is it intended to be staff, or?
I don't believe that the charter language limits that. I think, in general, we would imagine that they would be designating their staff.
Okay. And it says that the executive committee designates and directs a lead agency. Do we know who the lead agency is going to be?
No.
What's the implication for the Housing Bureau if it's not us?
At the moment, the intent is that the lead agency will be virtual. So we'll... which is, to some degree or another, how responsibilities are divvied up now. So we'll create, it'll either be part of the IGA or potentially an MOU that says who's doing. So currently the City of Portland, as I mentioned, writes the application, runs the HMIS system. I would imagine we'll continue to do that. Home Forward operates the STRAW system. Going forward, I think this does create an expectation that there will be a lead agency, and we don't know exactly what the implication would be for that.
And what about staffing and funding for this? Is the expectation that it'll all be done with existing staff and funding?
It is. It is also true that we received a grant from HUD in part to help us be compliant with HARTH, and we're hiring two positions, one of which will specifically be available to the continuum to help implement this program. But we got very strong feedback from the community. Thou shalt not create a new layer of government for us to go through, and we don't want to divert funds that would be for services into additional staffing.
Okay. And when it comes back, I want to make sure that it very clearly says that further revisions do have to come back to council and at least be approved by a majority of the executive committee jurisdictions. Not necessarily all of them. I have found with another issue in parks that when you've got multiple jurisdictions, it sometimes doesn't make sense that one could have veto power over something that everybody else thinks is the right thing to do. So there's that. Will there be annual reports to council on what this board is doing?
I don't think the charter specifies that, but I think that's very logical.
There aren't any term limits for the community appointees, and that's of concern to me. I can understand why you would not necessarily want to have a term limit on a executive director position or a staff position, but it does seem to me that it's good when there's turnover in community appointees. Mm. So I would suggest adding term limits. It says that there has to be one person, a peer or somebody experiencing homelessness on the committee or somebody who has been previously homeless. It seems to me that more than one person would be a good addition. It can be pretty lonely being the only one of a represented community, particularly for people who experience homelessness, that we would want to have at least two. And also adding to the list on page six of who's on the committee, we should have a renter, a representative from communities of color, and a representative from communities with disabilities, since the rest of the discussion says that those are particular needs and that yet they're not in that list. And then it seems to me that the community members on the board are elected by members, who is anybody who's attended two meetings. And that reminds me of the Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh. And I don't think that I think that there should be a residency requirement, that you need to be a resident of Multnomah County in order to be a member, and perhaps for a certain amount of time or something other than just having attended two meetings in order to be able to elect those members. So it, we've got 95 examples of how boards are not an example
I was expecting.
Good point.
through the 95 neighborhood associations, each of them does it differently, so it's not necessarily you're limited, but what you have here is of concern to me.
Yeah,
Commissioner,
we did struggle with the membership.
Should we specifically direct the coordinating board not to establish a new city named Continuum Forum?
Something like that. So those are my current concerns, and so my understanding is I can get in touch with you and add more while you're working on the
edge. Yeah, definitely. And we'll specifically circle back with you a couple of times.
It does indeed seem like it's going to be more transparent and accountable, and I certainly appreciate that.
Absolutely, yeah.
Mayor, since Commissioner Fritz has posed some questions, she's prompted a couple more questions, if I could, very quickly.
Please.
First of all, just an observation. One of the challenges we've thought about in the past is that the county does some things that are quite similar to what the city does, and we're not quite sure, you know, and they've grown up, they've evolved over time because of the some of the artificial distinctions we made. For example, Commissioner Wendt contracts with 211 to provide outreach and services to homeless families. We contract with 211 to provide outreach and services to homeless individuals. Is it fair to say that just as with the short-term rent assistance issue, 211 and other things are examples of where a better coordination among the jurisdictions will lead to maybe a single contract for services rather than the idea that we each have a separate relationship with 211 or things of that nature? Is that a fair comment, Tracy?
Yeah, it sure is.
Commissioner Fritz's question, though, got me thinking about a blast from the past, which is Judy Clegg and her study about how we might change the whole delivery system. And that was familiar to my colleagues because 5 years ago, when faced with a number of her recommendations, we chose a route that she had foreshadowed, but it wasn't the most radical and ambitious route, which was full consolidation. Okay. We chose to get our own house in order, so we consolidated all the city's housing programs and funding sources under one roof, and we created a new bureau. That was one piece of her vision. This strikes me as an evolutionary part of what she was talking about, but I think Amanda raises an interesting question. And let me just pose it to you. Can this body decide the next big question of who does what, or does it still rest with the governing bodies to make that decision?
Of who does what within the system?
So let's say that as part of your discussions, Michael or someone from Home Forward says, you know, gosh, we think homeless services should be consolidated under the city's team, and all those services should be kicked over to us.
I think what I would say, and I don't think we've necessarily said this clearly or explicitly this morning, is that the requirement to create this structure for continuum of care funds is a really great catalyst to put it in place. And I think long term, what we hope for is maybe not specifically that per se, but that we are, but that we've sort of created, the venue for those larger picture conversations, because clearly what we are attempting to do in this community to address homelessness is much bigger than the continuum of care funds.
I guess the point I would make is I just want to be very clear that at the point in which the conversation gets to a fundamental restructure among the jurisdictions, I just want to be clear that that is a decision that has to be made by the governing bodies and not by this body. And I just need a yes or no on that.
Yes.
Absolutely. Okay.
And the final thing I want to ask is about where you're going to do your work. Is it anticipated that these meetings would be held at the county, at the city, and at Home Forward, and you would rotate venues, or have you given thought to that?
I haven't personally given any thought to it.
I just want, you know,
City of Gresham also.
City of Gresham. So I guess what I would urge you to consider is that we use the formal chambers of the various bodies as rotating places so that, you know, there's a meeting here at the county, at Gresham, at Home Forward, so the public that wants to weigh in and observe and participate can do so. But I think it might set a nice precedent for having a rotate. I'm seeing Chair Widmark nodding. I hopefully that it resonates with him, that we move it around so that people have a chance to observe and participate in each of the jurisdictions.
I think access is a great priority to set.
Thank you.
So again, tag teaming. I'd like to have that clear in the IGA, what Commissioner Fish just said, that the governing bodies, the elected officials, get to make policy decisions like that. But I'm concerned that in the ordinance under B, it says that we are the mayor is authorized to execute intergovernment agreements as described in Exhibit A. So I'm wondering whether I need to amend Exhibit A in order to reflect the list of concerns that I just raised, or else we need to change the language in the ordinance to say something like somewhat similar to Exhibit A.
I'm turning to the city attorney to help us out with that one.
Yeah, diligently.
You could modify it to say substantially similar to.
But it wouldn't be substantially similar to.
Or it could be a sense of the council that's the intent of the language.
All right. Well, I'd prefer to change it to just similar to instead similar of as to. Described as in. Amended to say similar to Exhibit A. And then incorporating the things I just raised. Does that work?
And then the sense of the council is that this will be brought back before the council for final ratification.
Yeah, actually we need to change C too because it says submit the it says for ratification in accordance to ORS 190. Is that say it has to come back? I don't know
well,
what
that is the final approval IGA. Process. That doesn't need to be modified.
But
that's the adoption process under ORS 190.
Does that ORS direct it to come to council?
I believe it does. I'll double check.
I think it does. I think you're right. I think IGA is.
Yeah, that's a section.
Well, maybe we should add another section and make change C to D, saying that whatever that you're going to do the final thing, but have a section C that says the IGA will come back to council.
Well, that is what C says.
Oh. In lawyery, so it's
different.
You're saying,
also ratified that,
make it explicit rather than just referencing the statute, right?
Well, I also
City Council, okay.
On the record, it said the IGA will come back to the council.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. So C is okay, but I'd like to change as described in to similar to. And I make that motion.
Do we have to do that amendment now? Or
yes.
Sounds like we do. Okay. So that's a proposed amendment, and Commissioner Fritz moves it. Is there
second.
A second? Okay. Further discussion. So we'll take action on putting the amendment on the table and then take any further testimony with that amendment in front of us as well. So roll call on that, please, Carla.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Thank you. Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Okay. Other discussion or amendments?
I would just ask our attorney, does that require a second reading? Is that considered a substantive amendment?
This is an emergency ordinance. No second reading necessary.
Yeah, so we're gonna act on it today.
You're gonna act
most
on
likely.
It today.
Okay.
Okay. All right, great. Other questions for our panel?
Thank you.
Thank you all very much. And we'll see if we have anyone else signed up to testify. We may need you back after that.
1% Charles
with you in
Johnson.
Okay. one person signed up to testify. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Commissioners. Again, for the record, my name is Charles Johnson, and I want to thank you all for your attentiveness to these last few minutes to public input and inclusion on this. I'm a little bit dismayed that I seem to be the only person in the room engaging with this process who is on the Home Forward waiting list and has spent a month in the basement of the Bud Clark Commons or Doreen's Place. So I do want to thank you all that you're talking about perhaps getting a second person with direct experience or current experience in homelessness involved with this process. And it was good to hear that Commissioner Fish has found that some 12,000 people have been assisted or transitioned into getting or maintaining housing. I do think we need to also talk about how many people have been cycled through that process multiple times expensively, and you know that there are outcomes where some of those 12,000 people are probably going to be sleeping on Fourth Avenue very close to here tonight. But it sounds like a good process, so I'm not sure it's an emergency, but we've had that conversation before. And I look forward to engaging with you some more, because a few weeks ago we talked about the five comment slots, and I don't know if there's been a lot of process around improving public engagement at the five slots in the beginning when people aren't able to make it for what they've signed up for perhaps 2 months ago. But I encourage you to put the hammer down on this issue, because even though you don't always see eye to eye with the Portland Business Alliance about how to have people not sleeping on the streets in downtown Portland, this is a good time invested in trying to resolve that situation with people actually getting into housing instead of just being expensively chased around and relocated by the police. Thanks, y'all.
Thank you. Okay. Anyone else wants to speak on this? Please. Morning.
Good morning. Suzanne Hayden from the Citizens Crime Commission. Mayor Hales, commissioners, I'm just here this morning to, I know that this is a administrative and governance issue, but while it is a sexy concept for the Crime Commission, because we really appreciate the leadership and support the efforts of not only the City of Portland, but the City of Gresham, the County of Multnomah, and Hope Forward to unite in efforts to end homelessness in this region. And the governance charter for the continuum of care to end homelessness is a critical step in the cross-system coordination that's required to align efforts, funding to end homelessness. And it's also an important signal to the entire community that we need to align around this issue. And I appreciate previous testimony about the business community role in that, and as well as foundation role in that, as well as the faith community. So we appreciate your leadership and focused prioritization of the elected officials in this region to mobilize on the issue and stand ready to participate. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Okay, unless there's anyone else who wants to speak, we'll take a roll call on the amended emergency resolution ordinance.
Ish. Well, first I want to thank Commissioner Saltzman for bringing this process home. This has been a long time in the making, and this is a watershed day for our community's collective efforts to end homelessness. So thank you, Dan.
Thanks.
I want to thank Tracy and the crack team at the Housing Bureau, and in particular, Sally, Ryan, and Jennifer. What I learned last week, I've always taken pride in the fact that we have superb people working for the city, but when one of the top national advocates came to town and said that they were actually nationally known for their work, it made me even prouder. So thanks to our team. To our presenters, I think it was a great discussion. And the sad truth is there's a rising tide of need, and we have declining resources. And until the federal government puts housing as a priority, what we're going to have to do is be more creative in how we use the limited dollars that we have. And that, I think, is really what's behind this effort. And we put everyone at the table and we say, with the small pot that we have and the big challenge that's ahead of us, how do we spend these monies as efficiently and wisely as possible? And we always do our best work when we're always all at the table. So this is an extension of that. And it's an all-star team, Gresham, the city, the county, and Home Forward. And so we have great hopes for this process, and it's taken, I know, a long time to work out all the details. But we have deeply committed people at the table who continue to believe that we can make a dent in homelessness. And to the question I asked our distinguished panel about should we declare failure because we still have homelessness, I would say nor should we declare that religion is a failure because we still have sinners, or capitalism a failure because we still have poor people. The 10-year plan was an organizing principle, and it focused our attention on a creative and an innovative approach to ending homelessness, and you should be very proud of what you collectively have achieved. And I think this process gives us a chance to get to the next level. So I am very proud to cast my vote aye today.
Saltzman.
Well, I want to thank all of our guests for coming today, and although the city of Gresham was not able to make this meeting today, I'm looking forward to sitting at the same table together with them. And again, I want to acknowledge the groundwork from the previous leadership and from the community members on this reset process. As I said earlier, Commissioner Fish and former Commissioner Kafori were two of those people. And I also want to thank the staff from our partner jurisdictions who have stewarded this process through multiple leadership changes. And those staff, they call themselves the Avengers, a great name, includes from Multnomah County, Seth Lyon, Tiffany Kingery, and Rose Bach. From Home Forward, Ian Slingerland and Rachel Duke. From the Portland Housing Bureau, Sally Erickson, Ryan Dibert, Jennifer Chang, and Wendy Smith. And I look forward to the good work that lays ahead of us. And thank you, everybody. Aye. Oh, and also I want to thank Amy True from my office. How can I forget?
Ovi.
I also want to thank everybody involved in this and trust that the cooperation and coordination among the various entities in creating this charter will continue as the various organizations and the coordinating board works together to make tough decisions over the years. I also want to thank specifically Commissioner Saltzman, Amy True, and the staff of the Housing Bureau and of Home Forward and Gresham and of Multnomah County. And I appreciate Commissioner Fritz's comments, which and I wish I had thought as carefully as she had about these issues before today, but I was particularly struck by her suggestion that we should have at least two people who've experienced homelessness on the coordinating board because it does get a little lonely being one. So thank you very much. Really appreciate the work. And since I had not realized that we had Avengers on this topic, and that I just have to take the opportunity to recommend that everybody see Captain America, the Winter Soldier, in which Scarlett Johansson, in an unlikely turn, plays the role of Edward Snowden. Aye.
So I'm looking forward to working with you over the next few weeks on some of the details that I mentioned. I just noticed another one, which is that the executive committee will initially appoint a minimum of three coordinating board members from a group of six nominated by the general membership. But until we've had some meetings, we won't have any members because you have to have been to two meetings. So that's obviously a little issue. The key part is that there is going to be community membership on this board. And I hope that when the rest of the committee is designated by the executive committee, the rest of the board is designated that there will be a substantial number, more than three, who are community members. So just to run through the amendments that I'm looking for, term limits for community supporters, adding the person experiencing homelessness, also a renter, a person representing communities of color and communities with disability, adding the residency requirement for Multnomah County residency requirement to be a voting member, add that charter changes must be approved by a majority of convening organizations, and clarify that the governing bodies make policy decisions and receive annual reports on funding recommendations. So thank you very much to Amy True for our briefing, as in my office, to Tom Bizzo for his usual diligence in looking through this, and to my colleagues on the council for this helpful discussion. Aye.
Hales?
Well, thank you, Commissioner Saltzman and team, for bringing this in for a landing. It has benefited from your leadership as well, Commissioner Fish, and from this good discussion. I think this is a workable arrangement, so thanks for crafting that. You know, in the 1840s, after Britain and the United States settled a little fight over what this area was going to be, people started meeting initially out in the field in Shampui to say, well, okay, we're part of the United States. How are we going to govern ourselves now? And if we were to gather all 759,256,000 people that live in Multnomah County into a field, I suspect that they wouldn't come up with the arrangement that we have today, wherein we have 10 local governments, that's right, 10 local governments making decisions with governing bodies that have to craft complex arrangements among themselves to get anything done. And there's some good work afoot on making that Byzantine construct work better. I appreciate the good relationship right now we have, particularly with Multnomah County, and which the chair and I have worked out a number of issues that we're going to put together into budget proposals for our two governing bodies. But this is another case of that, where we have to do some extra work to make the construct we have work well enough to get good results. And that's what you've accomplished here. Again, if we could gather those 759,256 people and say, well, we're stuck with these 10 governments for now, they would say, well, at least figure it out and reduce the friction loss and get things done. And I think they would grudgingly approve this arrangement while still asking us to sometime get back to that question of why we still have 10 in the first place. Thank you. Aye. Okay.